Thank you. Woo! Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of God with other believers. Raise your hand if you're perfect. That's what I thought. Nobody's perfect. But raise your hand if you know the perfect one. That's what church is about. It's not us being perfect. If you want to put on a facade, that's fine. God sees right through it, and so do other people. Quit being fake, be real, right? But I'm thankful I serve the true and living King, the one that is perfect. I strive to be like him. Each day is a challenge. And my wife said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Pretty in red. Woo. Anyway, moving on. I stepped away from the pulpit, so. Yeah, TJ's in red. He's pretty in red, too. My. Handsome. Okay. We're going nowhere but down right now. All right. Kill the squirrel. I'm back. My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor at First Home Bible. It's my honor today to bring God's word to you. I was praying this morning. I was thanking God for what he's doing. I was thanking God that he loves to speak through people who are willing to be used as vessels. It's my honor today to bring God's word. I'm thankful to be the vessel that he has provided today. If you like it or not, that's what he has for you. So, but I was thinking about this too. He has brought you through all this. He's brought you all this way. So doesn't he deserve the praise? I mean, just take a second. Think about who you were and where you were 30 days ago, 3 years ago, 30 years ago. I don't know how long it's been. Maybe 30 minutes ago when you're in the car arguing with your family. You think about that. You know who you are. Holy Ghost was there. He heard it. Okay. No, but you know what I'm saying? Where I've been, where I am now, he is worthy to be praised. Man, it's crazy that he allows us not only to know him, but to be used by him. What kind of God do we serve? We serve a good God who loves us, rescued us, set us free, and then he wants to use us. Man. Tonight, don't forget, we have our annual business meeting. We cleverly named it annual business meeting because we do it annually one time. Yes. Not just a hat rack. I know. Some of you get that later. Ask your neighbor if you don't get it. Okay. But annual business meeting tonight at 6:30. If you are a member in good standing, you can vote. And there's a lot of things to vote on tonight. But anyone is welcome to come. If you call this your church and you want to know the inner works of some things and finances and the business and the other things that are going on and the votes and some changes and morphing of why we do. You know, church isn't just about Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. A lot of people say, Pastor, you only work one day a week. And I said, I wish. That ain't happening, right? One of my goals is I don't want to be outworked, right? I want to go to heaven tired, right? Some of y'all retired and you think that it's just time to sit around and eat bonbons and chill. No, you get refired. You got a different earthly master now, right? That's not telling you what to do. You got a heavenly master saying, get to work. Now you got nothing in your way, right? Yeah, take that pension and roll with Jesus. Come on. Hey. Okay, anyway. Annual business meeting tonight. It's going to be awesome. Did you already see who I was? Yeah? Okay. Sometimes I can't remember. If you don't know who I am, then you weren't listening, and I didn't say it, but my name is Pastor Harris. It's my honor today to bring God's word. I'm the lead pastor. Thank you for joining us online as well. We're in a series right now called Tailor Made. 2 weeks ago, we started this discussion about spiritual warfare and what it is and what it's not. It's very important to know the difference. We discussed we must take control of our minds, crucify our flesh, and deal with the devil. Then we went into spiritual armor that's found in Ephesians 6. And last week, my friend, Miss Erica Stowe, on Mother's Day, she went more into that. And she, what a blessing she was. Amen, church. She was a blessing. So encouraging. I'm actually going to sing like her right now. Are you ready? If I did, you would, everyone in here would be believe in miracles. I mean, wheelchairs would be thrown out. Prosthetics would be growing out. It's like, oh my goodness, there's a God in heaven. Yes. And he has anointed me, because that's the only way anybody's going to sing like that girl. Man, she is awesome. Awesome. What an encouraging word she brought. I love her. She's, and did I not tell you when I introduced her, she's a walking party. I wasn't wrong. Anyway. But you know what? We're talking about spiritual warfare. We're talking about different armor that we put on, a lot of spiritual things. But I want us to back up for a moment, and I want us to look in the Bible and see what it has to say about redemption. Why, Pastor? Why would we talk about redemption? Because a correct view of redemption will clear up many wrong ideas and wrong mindsets that we have about the devil's power and spiritual warfare. Now, sadly, many believers are trying to fight battles without knowing their true position in Christ. Church, you cannot fight the enemy effectively until you rest in what Jesus has already done for you. Amen. Embracing our redemption is crucial for effectively engaging in every spiritual battle. Anybody going through a battle right now? Anybody? Anybody who didn't raise their hand, let me tell you something. You're going to walk in one soon. You live in warfare. If you recognize it or not, if you acknowledge it or not, or if you fight with it or not, you are in spiritual warfare. Until you go into glory or Christ comes back, you're going to be in a spiritual war. Now, the biblical definition of redemption is this, quote, the deliverance of someone from bondage, captivity, or enslavement, typically through the payment of a ransom, end quote. Now, the definition of deliverance is this, the act of being rescued or set free. If you want to follow along today and you want to get into some of the notes, feel free to open up your Bible app. You go to More, click on More, find Events, and it's a YouVersion Bible app. Click on Events. You'll find First Open Bible, and you can click Save, and you can follow along with us today if you'd like to do that. Now, the state of humanity before God's redemption was we were all enslaved to Satan. We were in his slave market, completely controlled and owned by him. We had no control because we had no power. We had no power over evil, no power over our own flesh. The only way out was someone must purchase us out of slavery. We must be delivered from the dominion of darkness, and we must be restored back to our rightful place of being free children of God. Amen. Until Christ came, we were all slaves to Satan. Until Christ came, we were all slaves to our sin. Remember that song we sing? I'm no longer a slave to fear. Sing it. I heard you. I'm no longer. Just playing. I definitely don't sing country, but that was fun. If I'm going to sing like anybody, it's going to be Smokey Norful, if you know who I'm talking about. Man, every time I listen to a guy, I have church. My favorite. Anyway, I'm standing by him in heaven, by the way. I've already reserved it. Amen. But I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to Satan. You know, the human slave market should have never been permitted. Never. Slavery has been around for thousands of years. And it's been permitted in every continent of the world. Here's an example. We read about it in the Old Testament. Ancient Israel, they were slaves in northern Africa to the Egyptians for hundreds of years. Slavery is still around today. There's this thing called brick kiln slavery. It's in multiple countries in the Middle East, but Pakistan is one that I know about. Brick kiln slavery. Something you might not know about church, but I want to tell you about this, is I made friends with a pastor about a year and a half ago. I have a friend that's a pastor in India. I have a friend that's a pastor in Pakistan. And I help, we help them, but I'm able to be that liaison to them. I'm able to help them in different ways that you might not know about. Some of you give and you don't really know why you're giving, but let me tell you something of how you're giving right now. Let me talk to you for a moment about what's going on in Pakistan. A lot of things, but brick kiln slavery, what is that? That means if, let's say you have to go to the hospital or the doctor, or you can't pay food to feed your family, or you have something tragic happen in your house and you got to get a loan. Now, we get a loan and we pay it back. They get a loan and they go into slavery. 5 years old to elderly people. They work 6 days a week, 12, 14 hours a day. They hand make bricks every single day. And they have to do it until their debt is paid, and they're slaves to the one they owe a debt to. Now, what we do here is I've been given an allotment of money from the board to be able to give to pastors that I feel that are right in different places that I feel. You know, I as a pastor of America, I get requests from every country you can imagine because they think America, they think rich. They think America, they think that I'm just sitting like DuckTales, right? I'm swimming in my own money. You remember that, some of you? No? Okay. Right. Okay, spitting out coins. No, that's not what's happening. But that's what they think. So I get a lot of requests, but then I ask the Holy Spirit, which one do you want us to help with? And this guy that we've been helping with, just recently, what we have done is this. So he has a website, and we take finances from here, and we purchase it on one of our credit cards on one of their websites, and we buy household furniture. So we buy a couch, we buy a bed, we buy maybe a blender, we buy something, and it's shipped to this guy's house. This guy then goes into the local market, and then he sells it, gets cash, takes the cash, and pays off people's debt so they're out of slavery. Now, it gets better. I have these pictures that he sent. They printed off these pictures, and it's a picture of me. And it says, thank you, pastor. Thank you, church. You've got us out of slavery. And there's little 5, 6, 7-year-olds standing with grandma and everybody. And they're dirty. And they're standing in front of this factory behind them. And they're holding this. And they're free. Amen. I mean, it breaks my heart. But it's also like, praise God that we're able to do things like this, church. The number one slave market in the world today is forced labor. I'm telling you right now, this is just for somebody. You live in America, quit complaining about anything. I'm for real. Like, you have literally no idea what you have to face. You can be the poorest of poor, the most bound, the most whatever, and you are better off than 90% of the entire world just for the fact that you live here. You can go get a meal driving 10 minutes in probably 30 different places. People are digging out of garbage so they don't die. They're feeding their children as they slowly die. They're bound in slavery, and we have no clue. We have it so good. Our God is so good to us. The slave market was a place where human beings were paraded in front of potential buyers. And then they were placed on a trading block. On the trading block, they were there to be auctioned off like animals, old furniture, and unwanted junk. I don't get it. The slave's value was determined mostly by the condition of their teeth, because that determined their health. Also, they were determined by their temperament, as potential buyers would slap them, hit them, and spit on them. Slaves had no personal worth. Remember in Genesis, Joseph was even sold into slavery. Slaves' only purpose in this world was to serve the demands of their masters. Church, by the time Christ came into this world, put on flesh, the beautiful paradise that he helped create in the Garden of Eden was gone. Not even a hint remained. The world at the time had become a global slave market. Satan has gripped the hearts of men and filled their nature with violence, power, and destruction. With every generation following after Adam, spiritual death drove people of all tribes, tongues, and nations deeper and deeper into slavery and wickedness. Genesis 6:12 tells us this. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. All of us were like slaves in the slave market. We stood helpless before the devil as he slapped our lives around, hitting us, spitting on us, and abusing us. Think about Jesus. They even spit on Jesus. Our evil slave owner tried to destroy our self-image. You don't think they're coming after us, church? They don't think they're coming after our children? They don't know if they're boy or girl. They don't know if they have any destiny, any purpose in their life. That's because the devil wants their life, wants their identity. They're slave to the devil, and they don't even know it. They think they're living free, but they're so bound. Man, we've all been a part of this evil slave ownership, and the devil tries to kill our self-image, kill our bodies, wreck us emotionally, confuse us mentally, bind us spiritually, and tear our families apart. Then once the devil's done destroying our lives, he's going to bind us up in strongholds. He then's going to put us back up on the trading block to be auctioned off again. Soon another form of bondage will overtake us and begin to control our lives. This is a hopeless cycle we find ourselves in. It's a never-ending life cycle of defeat. Two words. But God. But God. But God. The Bible teaches us this was our condition before the grace of God. Until Jesus entered the scene 2,000 years ago and bought our redemption. God sent his son into the enemy's slave market with one purpose in mind. It was this: so Jesus could permanently purchase man's deliverance from Satan's bondage. Anybody want to go a little bit deeper in the word today? Anybody tired of having just t-shirt Christianity? Faith like a bumper sticker, right? All you know is Jeremiah 29:11. Anybody want to go a little bit deeper? Find what God is really meaning? Anybody want to know the depth of their redemption in Jesus Christ? If that's you, say amen. Amen. I got good news for you. That's what we're going to do today. So the Old Testament is mostly written in Hebrew, and the New Testament is written in Greek. Now, a lot of people say, oh, I like this translation, that translation. And everybody says, well, my translation's the best. No, you're mistaken. The best translation is a Greek Bible in the New Testament. So get off of whatever you think's best and you think that's, you know, God's spoken word. No, the word was written in Greek. And if you know Greek, then you can talk. Man, I studied Greek this week. And I studied these words and I impressed myself. I was so excited that I was able to pronounce these words. And if you pronounce them differently, I don't care. I worked hard. Worked really, really hard. Okay? Not that I need your approval, but I would appreciate some respect. Come on now. All right. Let's get into the depth of redemption in Jesus Christ. There's four different Greek words in the New Testament describing the depth of our redemption. These words are agorazo, ex agorazo, latru, and apolatrusis. Mm-hmm. Did it again. Hey! Okay. If you're ready, say ready. The first word is agorazo. This word was most frequently used to describe the slave market. This word is fully understood in the context that Jesus came to redeem us from our miserable state of bondage. He saw us on the trading block. He saw us in slavery. He saw us being bound by the devil, our sin, and the things of this world. He saw us, agorazo, and he redeemed us. He saw us. He found us hopeless in our wickedness. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this, "For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." Now this word bought, here is the word agorazo. Paul says it again one chapter later, and he says in 1 Corinthians 7:23, "God paid a high price for you, so don't be enslaved by the world." Amen. Jesus found us, church. He saw us on the trading block. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation, we're going through Revelation right now on Wednesday. The adults are in our community room. And there's this really powerful place in Revelation chapter 5 where it shows us a picture of heaven. There's 24 elders falling before the throne of God and they're worshiping. As they sing a song about Jesus, they sing of him redeeming us from Satan's slave market. And this is what it says in verse 9. And it's Revelation 5. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain and your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe, every language, and people and nation." Amen. The Greek word adequately portrays our spiritual bankrupt condition that we are in Satan's slave market. That's where we used to live. The slave market before our Redeemer redeemed us. All right, here's the second word. Describe the depth of the redemption that we have in the New Testament. Second word that's used in Greek is ex agorazo. Now, the word is a compound of two words, ex and agorazo, that we just talked about. Now, ex is a preposition that means out. And the word we just learned was to describe a slave market. So when you continue these two, you get the word that explains a picture of one who has come to purchase a slave out of the slave market. Ex agorazo conveys the idea of removal. It describes a picture of a slave who has been liberated, who has been purchased to be set free. The Apostle Paul uses the word several times in his epistles to paint the picture of Jesus' redemptive work that revokes us from the devil's slavery. Galatians 3:13, the beginning of that verse says, "Christ has redeemed, he has ex agorazoed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us." Paul tells us plainly here that Jesus' sacrifice, his sacrificial death, not only was to pay the penalty of our sin. See, some people, you just live there. Oh, thank God that he set me free of my sin, that he paid the penalty of my sin. But he also paid the penalty for our sin and removed us from living under the curse of slavery of that sin. That's why the Bible says, do you keep on sinning? The Apostle Paul says, I know you got grace. I know Jesus has paid it all. And you have grace for your sins. Do you keep on sinning? And the Bible literally says, of course not. Explanation point. Some of you think that you're just, I'm just going to keep living in this because God keeps forgiving me of this. No, you keep crawling up on that trading block. You keep crawling up on that slavery. You have not broken the cycle. You've just accepted that he has paid the price, but you forgot not only did he pay the price, but he's also set you free from that slavery, that you don't have to do that anymore. Come on now. Galatians 4:4-5 says this, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom, ex agorazo, for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. That's good. Here's what you must understand about God's plan of redemption. His purpose for sending his son Jesus was not just to look at our condition of slavery and find us on the trading block and feel sorry for us. Oh, that's a bummer. They're stuck in slavery. What a bummer. Oh, I have pity for them that they're stuck in this cycle of destruction. No, God's ultimate plan was to buy us out of that hopeless situation and make us his own sons and daughters by removing the curse of the sin, by removing the curse of the law. However, church, slaves like that don't come cheap. If an auctioneer knew that the buyer really wanted a particular slave, he could demand an unbelievably high price for that slave. So I want you to ask yourself a question. What price did Jesus have to pay for our freedom? What price did Jesus have to pay for your redemption from Satan's power? Now that leads us to the third Greek word that the Bible teaches us of our incredible redemption. It's latru. This word means specifically to set a captive free by the payment of a ransom. Paul reminds us again this morning, our freedom was not really free. Actually, our freedom from Satan's power was extremely expensive. In fact, the price Jesus paid for us was the highest price ever paid for a slave. What was the price Jesus had to pay for our ransom? His very own blood. Hebrews 9:12. With his own blood, not the blood of goats or calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption, our latru, forever. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For you know that God paid a ransom, a latru, to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. Oh, no, 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 church, verse 19. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Woo. The highest price, the greatest ransom. Some of y'all just don't even understand how much you're loved. You don't even walk in the price that was paid for you. You don't know, but you're about to know. Hey, somebody's going to know. It was the shedding of Jesus' own blood that guaranteed our deliverance and our forever freedom from demonic powers that used to keep us captive in sinful slavery. Latru is the word used to remind us Jesus paid our ransom. Jesus set you free. Jesus set me free. He bought us with the highest price, his very own blood. Titus 2:14 says this, he gave us his life to free, to latru us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Amen. Jesus paid it all. Amen. To all him I owe. He paid with his very own life and his very own blood on the cross. Church, there's more. There's another word. Another word used in the New Testament to talk about our redemption. A fourth word. Are you ready for it? Three people over here are ready for it. Come on. Move to the front. I need you up here. Church, there's more. There's one final Greek word used for redemption. Apolatrousis. The word apo often gives the idea of a return or returning back. The second part of apolatrousis is to take from the word latru, the word we just talked about, to set a slave free by the payment of a ransom. The fourth and final Greek word tells us God's ultimate purpose in redeeming us from Satan's slave market. Here it is. It means that Jesus paid the ransom in order for you to return to the condition you were once in before you became captive. Some of you are free from sin, but you don't understand that you are a son. You're not just delivered and set free. You are positioned in the highest place. You've been adopted into the kingdom of God. You're a son and a daughter of the Most High. Apolatrusis. The Apostle Paul uses this word. He's declaring that forever we are delivered from Satan's power. We are forever removed from the horrific place of slavery, and we have been restored by the blood of the Lamb. The fourth and the final word proclaims that the addition to just permanently setting us free from Satan's hold was also that Jesus has placed us back into a position that we were once called to be, and that's sons of God. Amen. Come on, that's a good word. He sees us, he calls us, he pays for us, he redeems us, he sets us free, and then he gives us a position of all positions as the son or a daughter of the king. What? That's redemption. It's not that just, oh, I've been forgiven of my sins. No, no, no. You son of God, you're the son of God. You are not only redeemed, but you're called to get other people off that trading block and tell somebody that you can be free too. You don't got to live that world. You don't got to live that way. You don't got to live in that sin, in that slavery. You don't got to be that anymore. Let me tell you where I was. Amen. Here's the hard thing, church. Some of you just crawl right back up on that trading block. And you forget the price that was paid. God's going to break something today and truly set you free. Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have apolatrusis, redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Amen. Woo! The ransom was paid. And then you get to return back home, never to be a slave again. Amen. So what does all four of these Greek words for redemption have to do with spiritual warfare, Pastor? What does it have anything to do with spiritual armor, Pastor? What's the deal? Everything. Somebody just said everything to do with it. Let me break it down for you. These truths confirm our goal in life is not to fight for our deliverance. No, our goal in life is to freely accept our deliverance because we have been redeemed. We no longer have to fight for freedom from Satan's control because we are no longer slaves to sin and we're no longer his slaves anymore. Everything we need has already been paid for by the death of Jesus on the cross and the triumphant resurrection from the dead. That helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness, that belt of truth are only effective if you understand that you deserve to wear them. Amen. Why? Because our redemption is our assurance, our effectiveness, and our empowerment to live a victorious life. Once we have this, we then put on the full armor of God. See, once you understand the price, you'll be able to proceed with power. What is coming out of your mouth? I talk to a lot of people. I even catch myself sometimes speaking death to my own situation, constantly giving myself an excuse to not walk in the power and the freedom of God out of my own mouth. And the Bible teaches what comes out of the mouth is what's in the heart. Heart, listen up. You don't have to live there. You've been bought with the highest price. The blood of Jesus has ransomed you and not only set you free, but he's also made you a son and a daughter of the King. Not only are you free, you're called to free others. You don't live in that slavery anymore. Quit crawling up on the trading block and giving yourself away to Satan. Enough. Be done. He's paid it all. He's paid it all. It's time to speak different, live different, act different. You just constantly are talking about negative things and it's destroying you. And guess what? It's also irritating around everyone who hears you. We're tired of hearing it. You're a complainer. We don't want to hear it anymore. You got nothing to complain about. If you want to complain, go to Pakistan. I didn't see nobody get up and go buy a ticket. Therefore, I want you to understand something. Satan has no legal right to control you. Satan has no legal right to control your mind, your bodies, your families, your jobs, your money, your life. He's got nothing because why? You are free and you have been liberated. He who the Son has set free is what?
Free.
You're free indeed. Woo, start living like it, church. It's very important you understand your position in Christ so you can gauge warfare and you can engage in warfare spiritually and correctly. I want you to hear this. Life isn't about trying to win a war. Life with Christ is about enforcing the victory that has already been won. That's so good, I'm saying it again. Life isn't about trying to win a war. Some of y'all striving when you should be resting. Life isn't about trying to win a war. Life with Christ is about enforcing the victory that has already been won. It's a good book. I want you to stop striving and start resting in your redemption. Galatians 5:1 says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Have you heard that before, church? Stand firm then. When did you hear that before? Where did you read that? Say it like you know. Okay, two people know. Other people are like, I ain't getting that gold star. I don't know. Ephesians 6. When you've had all you could do to stand, it says, stand. Stand. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Stand. There's something about standing. Don't lay down. Don't give them your hands. Don't give them your mind. Don't be bound again. Stand firm then. Come on. Stand firm. Wield a sword. Tear some devils up. Shut your mouth, devil. Shut your mouth. I'm a kid of the kingdom. You no longer have power over me. You once did, but I'm free. Not only am I set free, I'm empowered to set others free. Amen. Brent, will you please come? Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. All right, you ready? Anybody ready? Yeah. You want to face your spiritual reality? Yeah. Let's look inside for a moment and not just have our churchy facade. Let's look a little bit deeper. Let's act like it's Tuesday, okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I pray the Holy Ghost just checked your heart right there. Amen. Act like it's Thursday. Are you still stuck in slavery? Here's an easier way to say that. What lies are you still living? What lies are you still speaking? What lies are you still believing? I just want you to know, when you speak like that, when you talk like that, when you believe that, you're back in bondage. Aren't you tired of climbing back up on that trading block? There you go. Make the trading block a pulpit. Quit climbing up in bondage. Instead, proclaim the good news of Jesus. Get back up where you once were, where you were bound, and tell the world, this is where I used to live, but here's where I am now. Because worthy is the Lamb, and worthy is the one that was slain before the foundations of the world. Worthy is King Jesus who died for me and set me free. Worthy. Worthy. I was listening to some music this morning, and it's some of the lyrics are in it, and some of it God gave me too. I want you to take your communion out. You know what this reminds us of? The blood and the body of Jesus. But you know what this also is? This is a representation of the exchange that was made. The exchange that was made. If you need one, raise your hand. Awesome. Raise your hand. Just keep it raised. They're going to give you one. Amen. Listen to this. Here's some exchanges that were made for us. His beauty for our ashes. His riches for my rags. His glory for my shame. His triumph for my tears and my fears. His salvation for my sin. His gain for my loss. His freedom, come on now, from my debt, his redemption for my slavery. There's been an exchange. The greatest price that has ever been paid has not only set us free, but positioned us back into the right position as sons and daughters of God. If that's not the good news, I don't know what is. That's the good news of Jesus. Now, the Bible teaches us before we go into communion that you don't take communion if you're not saved. That's a condemnation to your life. So is there anybody in the house today that says, I am not saved and I need Jesus? I want to pray with you. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. You recognize him as Lord. You recognize he's not dead, but he's alive. And you recognize that he's paid the ransom for you. Is there anybody in the house today? Just raise your hand. I just want to pray with you. Anybody who's not saved today that wants to be? Anybody? I see that hand. Is there anyone else? I see that hand back there. Amen. I prayed for you before. I'll pray for you later. A rededication. God sees you. He sees that hand. He loves you. And he acknowledges the faith that you have in him. You are redeemed. You're set free and you're healed. You once were bound for hell and you were bound by the devil, but now you're free and you're on your way to heaven. Is there anybody who's never given their heart to Christ? I saw that one hand. Anyone else? All right, what's your name? Caden. Come up here, man. Help me finish this. Help me finish this. Stand right here. I'm going to meet you, okay? I'm going to meet you in a second. Church, I want to say a few things and we're going to take communion together. First, we're going to celebrate because somebody's about to enter in to forever. Caden, do you get a little one of these? No? We're going to get you one. Nephew, awesome. Good to meet you, bro. It's Pastor Harris. I'm that guy that was yelling just a second ago. Okay, we're not going to take this yet, but you're about to take this for the very first time as a saved saint of God, okay? So let me tell you about Jesus. So Jesus found me. I'm going to tell you a story about myself. Jesus found me when I was in ninth grade. I was prideful. I was stuck in shame and guilt and pain. believed all these things about myself. I was hurt. I laid my head down at night and thought I was just such a loser. Like, I'm fake. I'm all these things. And the devil just had my life. He had my mind. And I went to youth group, and this guy preached a message, and this is what he said. He said, God finds you where you're at right now. He doesn't want you to clean up. He sees you exactly how you are today. And he loves you enough that he's finding you right now. And all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is the Lord and that he's not dead, that he was raised back to life and that he found me, he saw me, and he loves me. And I remember that day, I did exactly what you're doing right now, although I made you do it. But they said, if that's you today, raise your hand. And I was sitting down in youth and I got up and I was crying because I needed him. And you know what? That night when I went to sleep, I didn't feel any shame. It was the first time I felt the love of God, that somebody loved me how I was and I didn't have to clean up for him. But here's what's really awesome. As I walked with him more, he made me more and more like him and he started cleaning me up. I don't think the same. I don't talk the same. I don't act the same. I used to puke before I'd even talk in front of anyone, but I can go up there and proclaim the gospel because Jesus lives in me and he's changed my life. And all it starts with is a prayer. And I believe that's for you. That God found you today, you found him, and he loves you. And this message today was for all of our freedom, but specifically for yours. You want to pray together with me? All right, give me your hand, bro. Caden, right? Okay, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to say, repeat after me, and then you're just going to say what I'm saying, and then we're going to seal it with your own prayer. You ready? It's not as scary as you think. I'll walk you through it. Yeah, I know. Don't look, let's not look at them. Father, I thank you.
Father, I thank you.
Let me pray and then you pray after me, okay? I'll say repeat after me and that's when you go. Father, just thank you for Caden. Thank you for his life. I thank you for the call on his life. I thank you for his newfound freedom in you. I thank you for his salvation. Your word teaches us that everybody falls short. There's everybody in here. We've all been here before. We've all come to the realization that we need a Savior. I can't save myself. I can't heal myself. I can't set myself free. I need someone to pay the price. And then I heard the message that somebody did, and that's you, Jesus. And I just want to give you glory for this moment. As Caden says this prayer, I thank you that it says in your word that you're writing his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as long as he follows you with his life, one day when he dies, he'll live forever in heaven with you. And all these crazy people in this church. It's awesome. What a wonderful thing. All right, so pray. Pray after me. Repeat me, okay? Dear Jesus,
I recognize
that I need you.
That I need you.
I was lost. But now I'm found.
Forgive me.
Of my sins. Take away.
My shame.
Give me your life.
I submit to you.
I need you. As the Lord of my life.
I don't want to control this life.
Anymore.
I give it to you.
Thank you.
For paying.
The highest price.
For me.
I love you.
Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, before we celebrate, this is where it's just you and him, okay? And I'm going to guide you in it. All you have to say is, thank you, Jesus, right? Just on your own. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Just say thank you.
Just like
you're thanking somebody that gave you something amazing. It's the greatest gift. Thank you, Jesus. Now tell them a couple times what you're doing. You're solidifying this in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Absolutely. Hallelujah. All right, now I got something cool to tell you. Michael, who I didn't pre-warn, but he's got something for you. You're going to meet him in a second. But what it says in the Bible, too, is it says when somebody comes to salvation, somebody recognize that, all of heaven rejoices, and the church is going to rejoice with you. So let's rejoice. Hey! Praise God, bro! Amen! Oh! Woo! Worthy's the Lamb! Worthy's the Lamb! We got another family member. Come on now. We got a potluck. You got to bring a side dish. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you go see that guy over there? He's the head of my prayer. Good to meet you, bro. All right, church, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to close out. We're going to take communion together. There's been an exchange. All right, take the bread. Closing right here. Take the bread. The bread represents life, death, and the resurrection power of God. Jesus gave us everything. The least we can do is give him the rest of everything we have. We recognize today the price that was paid, the ransom that was paid. Jesus willingly did this because he loves you. It's incredible. Father, we thank you. It says in your word that for God so loved the world, you sent Jesus. You sent your son. You thought of us. You saw us on the trading block. You saw us in our slavery. You saw us in our strongholds and our bondage and our sin. You saw us and you did something about it. You paid the highest price. You gave your son so we can be in right standing again. Thank you. We remember. In Jesus' name, you may partake. All right, the juice. You might want to shake it a little bit. Sometimes you can get a kick. Ow. Wake you up. What's the juice represent, church? Oh, the precious blood. Oh, the precious blood. He paid for me, and he paid for you. Oh, the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain for the foundations, before the foundations of the world. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is King Jesus. Not only does he forgive us of our sins, but he took the stripes to heal our bodies, to make us whole, and to pay the greatest price. We are free, free indeed. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your willing sacrifice. We can't do it on our own. Thank you for doing it for us, doing what we cannot do. You gave it all so we could know you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Father, I ask that you don't only forgive our sins, but empower us through the freedom and the redemption that was paid that we don't do them again. But we don't have to. We're not bound by that anymore. That's the old sinful self. I'm made brand new in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature. I'm new because of the blood. We remember Jesus and we thank you. Let's partake. All right, here's the last thing. It's time to tell the devil some stuff. You ready? Next time the devil's trying to get you bound up, or you're trying to get yourself bound up, or you're speaking lies, I want you to say some. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I've been ransomed and set free from evil powers. I've been transferred from darkness into the kingdom of light. I rest in the victory of Christ because he's already won it for me. And church, I wear the armor of God because I belong to God. That's the God we serve. Let me pray for you as we sing a song and we go out. Woo. Redemption, redemption, redemption. You found us in our misery. You found us in the worst state we could possibly be in. We had no key to free us, but you took back the keys And you freed the slaves. You freed me, you freed us, and I thank you, God, for it. Thank you for the blood that paid the ransom. And not only the ransom, so that way we could just be slaves again somewhere else, but that you made us sons and daughters. Now, Father, I pray for every person in here dealing with depression. It's a lie of the enemy. I don't care if it's clinical or just recent. It's a lie of the enemy. Put your rest and your worries upon him. If there's some chemical imbalance in your brain, line up to the word of God, and by the stripes of Jesus, that will line up and you will be healed. Right now, by the precious blood of Jesus, they are not going to be bound any longer with depression, anxiety. Listen up. The joy of the Lord is their strength. They will not be anxious for anything, but in all things they will pray. And they will see a deliverance. Sickness and disease. We claim the stripes of Jesus, and we pray that people will be healed in a supernatural way. What the doctors once said, the blood of Jesus says something different. I realize one day we will die because these are broken bodies, but until that day, I will plead the blood of Jesus over my life, and I will be healed, I will be set free, I will be delivered, and I will live a kid of the kingdom who is free. And I will proclaim the gospel in everything that I do. And God, forgive us of our mouths when we speak death, not only over our own lives, but the lives of others. Convict us, Holy Spirit, the next time we say something destructive. Destructive cycles, you are broken. What's been handed to you, nurture or nature, it doesn't matter. You're new in Christ Jesus. All things are broken. Every curse, every law, every bondage is broken in the name of Jesus. You are free. And he who the Son sets free is what? All right, live like it then. Hey, amen. We love you.